I'm Naomi, and this is the Sleepy House Healing Podcast. Hello, beautiful people. I am coming to you a little bit early for our transmission related to the full moon in Pisces on Saturday. So, I'll be honest, I have been extremely busy with my life, extremely busy with readings with y'all and timeline jumps. And yeah, I got a new gig, which may turn into a full-time job. And I'm so happy. Let me just say that real quick. I'm so happy that I am writing for money. And I love writing about the things that I am specifically interested in, like tarot, dream work, herbalism, all these things that we talk about here. Love doing that. And I've been doing that for quite a while, making content that's just this. And I don't mean just in a way to like reduce it, because I think that all of this work has brought me so much closer to myself, and I've made so many mistakes that I've learned really valuable lessons from. And I'm really, just sort of basking in the gratitude of this experience. And I make it sound like I'm going to leave. I'm not. I'm actually going to keep doing this podcast, and I'm going to keep writing for the Patreon and doing the monthly timeline jumps that I offer. Ooh, excuse me. That was a burp. I'm still going to be, burping into the microphone and not editing it out. But I'm also going to have this other work that has nothing to do with any of this, and I'm really thrilled about it. I'm actually using my degree that I got many years ago that I've really just kind of not done anything with. So anyway, that's what's going on in my life. I've been very busy with these things, and happy, happy as a clam, happy as a little Pisces fish. I am going to pull out a new, it's not a new deck, but it's a deck I don't pick up very often. I used it this morning with a reading with a person I've never read for before. And yeah, it was really nice. I mean, sometimes I do that, right? Like right before a session, I just feel like, okay, my daily reader is here, but I'm also feeling like pulling this other deck out. And I have, if you were with me from the beginning of, my tarot journey, well, at least the journey of like reading for others and, being a professional, it's funny because it used to feel really important to me. And now it's like, whatever, I don't really need that identity. So like, I don't hold on to it so tightly, but anyway, I used to be like, okay, I don't want more than 10 decks. I'm really going to try to keep it under that many. Yeah. That after this many years, it's just not possible. I love cards. I love collecting them. I love having them. And I love pulling them out for like purposes other than giving readings. I think that's something too I want to just mention briefly. Like I have been working with the tarot more and more as a meditation tool, as part of my journaling practice, which I always recommend people do. But I've really been doing more of that again myself, kind of like the early days of when I started really taking my tarot stuff seriously. So I'm doing that again, but not so serious. Like I'm really having fun again because this is not my whole income anymore. This is not my entire, you know, the way that I support my family. That was just too much. And I just didn't have another way of, like, at the time, I didn't see that there were other possibilities. So now that I have this other gig that may turn into a full-time job, tarot gets to just be, excuse me, this really, this thing that I'm, like, excited about that I'm doing because I want to, you know? Because there have been times where I'm just like, I don't want to do this right now, or I don't want to do this so much as I'm doing right now, but I needed to pay my bills. And yeah, it was a lot of pressure for myself. I don't think it's, like, disrespectful to the cards. I don't think they get, like, their feelings hurt, or, you know, if you're a patron, you've heard me talk at length about personifying the deck itself. Like, it's one of my pet peeves. And I'm not saying that that's always bad, but where was I going with this? I think I was just going to say that, like, I feel like my love for it rekindled, because it's, anytime there's a lot of pressure on anything, it's not fun. And I actually love to work. This is just being a very Capricorn heavy person. I love to work. I love to be a workhorse. I love to be, you know, just, like, busy with doing work. It's fun, for me, in this weird way, and not in the, like, internalized capitalism way, because when I am feeling into that scarcity that I was just mentioning, it feels like shit, and it's hard to actually do anything. Like, it's too much pressure. Anyway, I have rambled quite long enough, but yeah, coming back to the deck that is in front of me. That's where I was. Okay. It is the Alchemical Tarot Renewed. It's the fifth edition, by Robert M. Place. So I bought this deck a couple of years ago, and it's one of the most beautiful decks that I have. It's got gilded edges, and I love it because there are symbols in the deck that I just, in the illustrations on the cards, I mean, that I don't know what this means. And so I love that. I love getting into an area of tarot, or even in my own practice of tarot, where I'm like, what is this? Like, I need that curiosity and that exploration, and, like, I know that we never fully have the answers, but there's some things that it's like giving readings. I never thought I would say this, but sometimes it gets boring, y'all. It's like, okay, I can hear what you need to know, and I know how to deliver that now in a way that most people are, you know, they can hear it and understand what I'm saying, which has been, like, a journey in itself, just because communication is, I find it's very different for me and other people. So, you know, so what was I going to talk about? Yeah, this alchemical deck. So if you want to look up this deck for reference, this morning reading for a new client, I really enjoyed it. And I felt like there was so much richness in the cards and the imagery. And I absolutely love when clients are like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to check out that symbol later, right? Like, oh, I'm going to, like, research this because there's something here that's calling out to me. That's the kind of person I am. And it's the kind of people that I attract, I think. People who are, like, interested in the symbolic rabbit holes that we can get into. So the first card that came up, this invitation for this Pisces full moon, it's actually the Ace of Swords. And I find that is pretty funny, just because Pisces is sort of associated, I think, of this dreamy, sort of borderless, like, cloudy, watery, you know, almost wishy-washy kind of thing. And when I see this Ace of Swords, it's like you just cut through, right? You cut to the heart of the matter. And one of the best compliments I think I've ever been given, this was literally more than a decade ago, but being ADHD and just having my personality, I used to, and maybe I still do, but I try not to, but I interrupt people. And it's something I feel like embarrassed about because I want to be a really good listener. I just get excited. And a lot of other neurodivergent people I know, we kind of have this in common. It can really add to the load of like shame that we have if before we find out, right, that our brains are wired differently. But anyway, the best compliment. And my husband called. Anyway, I record these on my phone. And I don't edit, as you can tell, you know. So anyhow, yeah. My favorite compliment I've ever been given was that I interrupt you to tell you your point. And this friend actually did mean it in a kind way. This was something when he brought that up to me, I was like, oh my God, that's so fucking rude. And he was like, no, sometimes you've explained my point to me in a way where I understood what I was saying better, or I realized I didn't agree with what I was like in the process of saying. And so it's just kind of interesting. I think the things that we think of as like just major flaws can actually be gifts. It doesn't mean that they're always like appreciated, obviously, or that they're always a gift. We don't always have to frame everything as a gift in our lives. I think that that can be really like toxic, right? Positive to a negative effect. But yeah, that just came through when I saw this card. I thought about it because on this card, there's actually most of this picture on the Ace of Swords is clouds. All of these clouds. And then there is, it looks like maybe a dove with its wings open, its beak open. And then there is a sword with wings as the, on the hilt. And there is a, a snake with a chicken's head, like wrapping around it, sort of like a caduceus. And then there's like a landscape in the background, a mountain, and some trees. So what I'm getting here too, you know, Ace of Swords, swords are related to air, our mental you know, loops and our mental function, right? I see this Ace of Swords as like, okay, whatever you have to do in this time, you can cut through the clouds. Like you can cut through all else and make your point or craft, carve the piece of writing you may need to write, or carve out the idea that you, maybe you've been sitting on it, or maybe it's just now coming through for you, right? This is still, while it's a Pisces full moon, right? It is still a time where ideas can bloom. In fact, I don't know about y'all, but for me, it's like when I have a lot of space and like the room is clean and cleared of clutter, and I have time to just sort of daydream and lay around or walk around without an agenda, I get some of my best ideas. So if you can work in some time this weekend or whenever you're hearing this, because I do think the readings we're meant to hear come to us when we're meant to hear them. Carve some space for wandering and meandering. See what comes through. Try to do it without too much pressure to come up with something. Okay. I think that might be too, like, also why, like, in the shower, there's that whole thing of, like, I get my best ideas in the shower. It's like you can't reach the pen. There's something about being in the water and being in a different environment where it can get those creative juices flowing. You can channel down a lot in that space. Oh, and I also meant to mention there is an A and the alchemical symbol for water on this card as well. The other card is actually reminding me I need to call my best friend because we have some pending plans for this weekend. But yeah, so it's the Three of Cups. Or in this deck, they call them the Vessels. So the Three of Vessels. A lot of people see this card as celebratory, and that's fine. I don't necessarily see it as celebratory, though it could be. This version of the card has three maidens wearing, let's see, they're wearing, I can't tell if this is yellow or beige. I live in an old house and the lighting is not good. Oh, here's my light. Okay, yellow. Three maidens. One is wearing yellow, one is wearing blue, and one is wearing red. And then below their feet, there are three dots, black, yellow, and red. And on their head, they have three vessels with different alchemical symbols. The one for earth, I believe. No. That is actually air. Air, fire, and water. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the way that I see the Three of Cups is more like, I see this card as more like intimacy, right? Having close connections where you can be your total authentic self and you're not in fear of judgment. And so that's why it made me think of my best friend, because I really feel that from her. Though we can be a little judgy together, I don't really feel judgment from her because we have so much history. It's like, yeah, we've seen each other be real messes, you know? So yeah, that energy is here too, the Three of Cups. Not this deck, obviously, but another deck I really love, the Fifth Spirit Tarot, has their Three of Cups in that deck is really, I think, such a wonderful representation of how I see the card, which it's like a little kitchen table with I think it's like a piece of braided bread and like snacks and tea, like sips of tea. And it really reminds me of the intimacy of sitting at someone's kitchen table and just having a deep conversation, a deep talk. And that's actually something me and my Nana, we still do it when I see her. It's really great to have those deep talks. And actually, coming back to ideas and how to formulate ideas and how they really get fleshed out, there is a lot of value in not just telling the world before you have fleshed something out. And I've heard this from other people within other traditions where it's like, you don't tell people about your ideas, not because they're going to steal them, though that can also happen. But also because you don't want to have their judgments or their, like, you know, whatever weird feelings that might come up for them hearing your idea, whether they express it or not, it could energetically influence how the project goes. And I think that that's valuable information. And I do also see value in having a deep, long discussion or running something by someone you trust. So actually, my newest project, the idea came from, it came from a couple of sources. I'll say where I got inspired initially was listening to my grandmother tell these stories, excuse me, that are just so out there. There's a couple of stories I think someday I might share here, or maybe on this, in this new project that I'm developing right now with a friend. Yeah, so that's keeping me busy also. But yeah, I got the idea from her, listening to her recall these stories that were just, Yeah, just wild. Things that have happened that I remember from childhood that we still cannot explain. And that's something that I've always been interested in. I think like many people, even people that are like staunch atheists and just not supernatural or into magic or anything at all, there's still something about the mystery of reality that is really enticing for a lot of people. So I got inspiration there. And then I was like, how cool would it be to have a hotline where people can call and tell, you know, the weird ass crazy stories that have happened to them, like the weird encounters, like the UFO sightings, like just everything. Why not make a hotline where they can call in and then I didn't really know what I would do with that, you know? There have been over 200 messages already. If you want to call it, if you want to be part of that project, it's called Synchronicity Support Desk. And the number is, I think it's 678-321-SYNC, S-Y-N-C. Anyway, if you look at my Twitter that shows like the actual numbers in the word sync, but yeah. And then there's another Twitter friend, mutual, who was like, do you want to collaborate on that? And, you know, like just see how it goes. And I'm like, yeah, of course. So then I realized too, Synchronicity Support Desk. I was like, man, where did I get that? You know? And it reminds me a little bit, of another creator's podcast, but her whole thing is like explaining it's more of like it's called like orientation department. It's Jessa Reed's podcast, who I absolutely love. And I've learned so much from Jessa Reed in general. She's a very interesting and, very cool person. But anyway, I realized like, oh, Synchronicity Support Desk, is that like too similar? It's not though, because people calling in with all these stories and then my friend and I just discussing how weird they are and like what we think it could be and da da da. It's actually not the same at all as what she does. What she does is talk about how to orient yourself in this reality and just the nature of reality, like how to change your reality even. So Jessa Reed actually led me to another creator, P the Fairy, who I've mentioned here quite a few times. And I've mentioned her here because she is who I did my first timeline jump with. And then I got facilitated. I loved it. I had such an amazing experience. Like I really feel I felt my life transform after doing it and also, you know, doing the work to change my patterns. And, anyhow, I got trained to facilitate. And so that is where the whole timeline jumping thing came from. I have a little blurb on my website explaining where I learned it. And, you know, there's other versions of timeline jumping. I've noticed more people talking about it and not really attributing P, which, to be fair, I've done some research. There's other methods. There's other schools of thought sort of with like, you know, how we can work with our reality in this way and do like time magic. But I do think that the reason it's having such a moment right now is because P is like a force, you know, they really are. And, I got off just talking about all these things because, that also has led me to other works. And some of them I'm probably not going to share publicly. I'm realizing there's actually a religious component to some of it for me. And I am a big time oversharer, and that's not always a bad thing, you know, part of my human design, chart and like my orientation to this reality, right? My literal design is that I'm meant to share and inform and be open and be honest and be loud even, which has taken me a while to actually accept and not try to change. However, one thing I have kept private and I intend to keep private is my religion, my evolution in this area of my life. It's kind of interesting how people think of tarot cards and astrology as these spiritual things. And I, the more that I work with them, the less I think that they're spiritual, actually. I'm not saying that in a negative way. I just think they are tools. They are lenses for understanding, but they are not inherently spiritual. I don't think they're science either. And also tarot and astrology aren't really the same thing, right? We know that. But lumping them together even, I know that we do that. I mean, I work for an app that was initially an astrology app, and now it's a, it does a lot more kinds of readings, including tarot. I don't think that they're inherently spiritual, and I think it might be good for us just collectively to at least entertain the possibility that our tools and our lenses for looking at reality do not have to be spiritual. That is not what that word means. We all have a spirit, right? So you can't really pull humanity and spirituality apart. It's like we're literally, it's the same. We're intertwined. You can be the most atheist person ever, and that's fine. I support you. And I actually believe you, you know? I think that's what I'm kind of coming to, that like obviously not everyone is right, but I think most people are right. At least when it comes to understanding how their reality works, because what you believe about your reality is what you're going to get back to yourself, right? That's what you're going to keep getting back. I had this really amazing preacher when I was younger, when I was like really scared to not be a Christian, who said to me, God, I love this guy so much. He was like, whatever you think happens after we die, you're probably right. Meaning that people that believe nothing happens after you die, okay, probably right on some level. You know, I really appreciated that even at that point, way before I understood anything about like reality in general, like the nature of all of this, whatever this is, you know, I had a little window. I had a little, a lot of little windows into like, oh yeah, this is not all of it, rather. Anyway, I'm on my soapbox, but that's actually perfect because what I pulled just now while I was yammering is the King of Swords. And the King of Swords is like this eagle or this falcon. Guys, I don't know much about birds. That could be the same, almost the same animal. I went to the Natural History Museum in New York in July, and I remember looking at falcons and eagles, and I know that there's something there that I could say here that would sound smart, but I don't remember. So there's a bird holding a sword, looking extremely tough, and there is the, I think it's the alchemical symbol for air. Yeah, that would make sense. And it's wearing a crown. And what I think of as King of Swords is just like, yeah, mastery of words, explaining, informing, right? Presenting, just giving it your all in presenting information, in speaking your truth, in being seen, being visible. It's like that sword out in front of this bird. It's like, it is a tool. It could fuck you up. It could also cut a path for new understanding. That's really how I see the swords in the tarot. They get such a negative rap, but like I'm really becoming a sword, like, stan. They're my favorite. I know, I'm using the word stan wrong. Whatever. I've been on Twitter too much and you can tell. Speaking of which, I had a tweet, an interaction tweet go viral that I'm still not over because Monica Lewinsky quote tweeted it and it was so funny. She made a funny little joke and it was just, anyway, there's an article on Board Panda about that thread now if you want to see it. But yeah, it's just funny that was written, and a few of my friends have been like, what, you're on Board Panda? And I'm like, yeah, they asked permission and everything. They did. But yeah, so the interaction tweet was like, tell us a true story that sounds made up. And I got over like 30,000 responses. Like so many amazing, ridiculous stories and a bunch of junk too. But you know what? That happens. It's Twitter. But yeah, so I'm feeling really good about the future, about the projects that are happening. I still feel a little like nervous stepping into a new gig, and like I don't know, the boss, the person I'm working for is so nice that I don't know how to handle it. And I've had nice bosses before, but this is a job that is paying me well for what I'm doing. And even though I'm really out of practice with this style of writing, they're just being patient. And it's really great. 'Cause I know I can do this. And I actually pulled cards about it the other day. And I was just like, you know, like, give me the worst, you know? Do you ever just go to your deck and you're like, okay, I'm going to break every rule of tarot and about how to ask questions. And I'm going to ask this like I'm a teenager who wants to know if a boy likes me, right? Like, I literally went to my deck and I'm like, just tell me, what's the catch? Where's the problem? Like, how am I going to fuck this up, basically? And my deck was like, oh, Queen of Wands, you know, like, oh, Ten of Pentacles, like, you know, Ten of Cups or something. I don't remember the other card, but that Queen of Wands, it was just like, oh, so I got this. Yes, I got this. My mind is in the way sometimes, but my mind is also where all of this information lives. So anyhow, it's only three cards, but I do feel like we could pull one more. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to do a card from the Joy of Relationship deck. Y'all, speaking of decks, this is a deck I sort of definitely overpaid for on eBay a while ago, but I love it. I love it. And I'm going to pull a card for us. Let's see what's here. And this is an Oracle deck, so it is not in the same system as Tarot. Most of you listening to this already know, but why not? You could be brand new to my work, and if you are, welcome. It's always chaos. That's just how I roll, and yeah. What's cool, I've been thinking about this today. What's cool about me is that I will rebuild. I will get knocked down. Some shit will happen. My world will get rocked. And I'm still going to rebuild every time. And I usually rebuild in a way that's stronger. And, you know, I do pride myself a little bit on being able to thrive in, like, you know, really inhospitable environments sometimes. Okay. The card we got. How perfect. How perfect. Okay. You can't see the card, but the card is Dreams. How perfect for a Pisces full moon is a card that has the word dreams on it and a person with like a spiral in the middle of their forehead. And then there's all the elements represented. There are mountains for earth, clouds for air. There's a lotus here, which I think is meant to represent like spirit or consciousness. And then there is a sun for fire, I would reckon, and a wave for water. I'm gonna look up in the little book that this came with what they have for dreams. But I mean, for me, it's like, do we have, as much as I've talked, do we really have to talk about what dreams are? Maybe, because there is always new info, but let's see. Okay. I'm going to take a photo of these and post them on the Patreon as a free public post. So if you would like to see the imagery of any of this, it'll be available. Okay. Dreams. The imagination is a source of entertainment, new ideas, and inspiration. Our dreams can sometimes lead us to develop tangible goals. At other times, they may point to important things within us brewing beneath the surface. The card Dreams invites you to explore your imagination, your dreams, your hopes, your fantasies, and perhaps to share what you find with your partner. Okay, so this deck is a lot. I realized after buying it, it has a lot to do with like healing a relationship, like healing marriages. And it's very 80s or 90s style, which I like. But the best part is on the cover of the box and the book that comes with it. It's a foreword by the best-selling author of Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus. It's just, I don't know. Sometimes they're really dated, like 90s stuff. I think it's fun. And it doesn't mean we have to hang on to everything that is said in the little white book. I mean, when do we ever do that? I never do that. I used to say throw away your little white book, but I don't throw it away. Just read it with discernment, right? Use your sword to cut through the parts that are just not relevant or are dated. So here's another, just an excerpt of this interpretation. The card Dreams invites you to use your imagination to explore the ideal relationship. What are your dreams regarding true fulfillment? Yeah, I just don't really hear, and I didn't really pull with the intention that it would have to do with love. And, I don't want to say this and make anybody feel bad, but I gotta say that love readings are not my forte. They're not. It's not that they're bad, and I'm happy to do them. However, I absolutely love the people that that come, or I love the readings where people come with things like, I think I saw a gnome, you know, or, oh, I had this experience where, you know, whatever, I had this dream and it was really wild. And so that also kind of inspired this new project, the Synchronicity Support Desk. I just want to hear these stories for fun, for entertainment, and to share them with the world, because like, yeah, the stories that my Nana was telling me, it's like nobody would ever hear these weird stories from our lives unless I share them. And so I want to encourage others to do the same. And I guess that makes sense why there's just swords all around here, you know? I think of the sword as carving out the story. Carving out a narrative. Anyway, I think that's about it, y'all. I don't know. Every time I do one of these, it's like, who knows? Who knows what's going to come out of me? It's part diary, part, reading. Sometimes it's much more like reading focused and I don't say much about myself, but pretty often I do share about me. Just because I don't know about y'all, but for me, it's like all day, most of the time, I'm actually not thinking about me. I am thinking about my kiddo or what else I have to do or blah, blah, blah. So this is kind of a time where I'm like, huh, what am I interested in? What is going on for me, you know, under the surface? And what's cool about it, part of the reason I don't feel weird just being like yammering about myself for however long, 45 minutes, is that a lot of times one or five of you will email me or send me a DM and it's like, oh, there was something I said in that ramble that highlighted something for you. Okay, amazing, good. Then I'm serving my purpose, literally. So anyhow, yeah, have a wonderful weekend or whenever you're listening to this. Have a wonderful full moon. You know, the homework is just, not that I always give homework, but the homework is literally to dream, to get some space, and yeah, wander if you can. I'm going to be, I don't know, depending on if you're listening to this, I'm going to try to go to the Folk Magic Fest in Nashville on Sunday. I may not make it, but if you're listening to this on like a Thursday night and you're like, oh, I'm local, I want to go there, like, maybe you'll see me there or maybe not. But yeah, I really want to try to make it because I like, it's a free festival and I love some of the people that are going to be there. So that would be really cool. What else? Okay. If you would like to join the Patreon and join us for our monthly timeline jumps and who knows, like whatever else I come up with for this month's perks. Yeah. Sleepy House Healing. It's patreon.com/sleepyhousehealing. If you would like a reading from me, my books are very limited, but you can check out what slots I do have. And that is at sleepyhousehealing.com. Yeah. Oh my goodness. I should have said this first. I have a scammer. I have an imposter on Instagram, and I've actually dealt with this a little bit before, but never this bad. Sleepy House Healing_ is not me. I will not DM you about reading or about anything, really. I don't really DM a lot. People DM me and I may answer or I may not. I do everything through email or I do it through my website. I will not DM you. I repeat, I will not DM you. Twitter took down the imposter account. It was the same person. I have some plans. I have somebody working on this Instagram situation. So they're in for a rude awakening. But just in the meantime, stay safe. Don't give them any money. Please. Because I cannot fulfill readings that I did not book. So yeah, I don't think anybody has given them money and I really hope they haven't. It sucks, but people don't care because people kind of look at the stuff that I do as just this fake bullshit scamming already. So they're like, whatever. And it's like, yeah, that's really a fucked up way to look at it because, yeah, it's, they're not getting what they think they're getting, right? If somebody is scamming under my name, but it's not me, yeah, obviously unethical and fucked up. What else was I going to say? Yeah. Okay. Just to tell you where I am at legitimately on the internet. Okay. Besides sleepyhousehealing.com on Instagram, no funky spelling, just regular Sleepy House Healing. And I have a shit posting account I never use and it is a Mythic Witch also on Instagram. On Facebook, I am a page, Sleepy House Healing. On TikTok, that app is dead to me and I don't really use it, but I think I have some accounts on there, but I'll never DM you because I don't even log on. Let's see. On Twitter, I now have 3 accounts, which is confusing maybe, but I have Sleepy House 555. I have my main Twitter, which is where all of the fun stuff happens. And I just talk nonstop. It's at a Mythic Witch. And then, what's the other one? Oh, yeah, the new one. At Sync Support Desk. That's my little, it's going to be, I don't know exactly. It's a new project I'm doing. We'll see. So if you want updates for any of the shit that I do, those are the good places. But also, I highly recommend, even if you do not pay to subscribe, if you follow me on Patreon, you get updated when I share a free and public post like this podcast. I always share it for free and public. Also, I could never feel right about, I don't say never, but I'd have to be doing things a lot differently to feel good about sharing this podcast in a paid format, because yeah, this is like a brain dump every full and new moon. And sometimes it can get really esoteric and like really deep. And then sometimes it can be just, you know, like this, whatever the fuck this was. Yeah. Okay. I think that's it. I know as soon as I stop recording, I'm going to think of something and like want to yell about it. But I don't remember. So all well. Okay. Bye. Have a good weekend.